Hello and welcome to the Racing Post Weekend Postcast, the Racing Post Horse Racing Audio Podcast. It's the 1st of July, summer is in full swing and the top quality flat action keeps coming our way. We'll be looking at Sandown, Haydock and even having a quick look at the Group 1 Prix de Saint-Cloud from France on Sunday. I'm Sam Hart and on this week's preview, I'm joined by two of the Racing Post's finest tipsters, Keith Melrose and Robbie Wilders. Hopefully they can find you some winners from a total of 8 races we'll be looking at on today's show. Robbie, it's hard not to be excited by this weekend's eclipse. Looks like we're going to be, very much treated to a top quality race on Saturday.
Yeah, very much so. Obviously a shame that a couple came out early in the week. I did quite like Real World and Stone Age. But still, we've got two classic winners in there and we've got four of the top, the best sort of older middle distance colts around. So yeah, very much looking forward to it.
We'll be looking at that in a few minutes' time. Keith, some good-looking handicaps to get stuck into, the likes of the Coral Challenge and the Old Newton Cup. It's going to be some weekend, isn't it?
Yeah, interesting that neither of those races are heritage handicaps, isn't it? Mm. I mean, they're both races that are good enough for that sort of status. And in the Old Newton Cup's case, it's been around for God knows how long, hasn't it? So yeah. These are really hot handicaps, really indicative, and quite hard to solve, but we'll do our best.
Yeah, we will indeed. Yeah, I agree with you. The Old Newton Cup, very much surprised it isn't a heritage handicap. Let's get into the first race then from Sandown. It's the 150, the Coral Charge, a 5 furlong Group 3. And Rasil and Mitt Bahi are 3-1 joint favourites. Equilateral's 11-2, Nymphadora 8-1, Arecibo 9-1, and double figures bar those. Now, these sprints at Sandown, Keith, always seem quite open, and we have a fairly open-looking contest to kick things off. Who are you pinning your colours to here?
Yeah, it does look open in the market, doesn't it? But there's a horse in here who I think his profile is doing its very best to disguise how progressive he is. That's Mitt Bahi. He ran quite a lot of time. I think he ran like 6 times a 2-year-old last year, and then he's come back and, you know, he finished second to Boonie on his reappearance, won a race at Hamilton, and then he won the Scurry Stakes here last time a couple of weeks ago, 3 weeks ago actually. And oh, it's a big jump on figures. Can he back it up? No, I think that's looking at it the wrong way around. This horse is a big horse. You know, you can very much imagine he's made a lot of physical progress between 2 and 3. He was not fit when he finished second to Boonie at Nottingham. And then at Hamilton, they went an absolutely brutal pace, but he just went through it like it weren't no thing and won that race quite impressively before he turned up here and won that race from Living the Dream really impressively. Now, everything else had excuses in that race, but he had excuses a little bit too for not winning by 5 because he did it very, very easily. And I just think this is a horse that's really progressive, potentially on his way to maybe even Group 1 sprints, you know. Mm-hmm. He's just got that about him. And obviously having done it at the track already is a real positive. He is drawn in stall 1. The way he was ridden last time, he was drawn quite wide and came over the top. So David Egan will have to be a bit clever this time. But just in terms of form, for me, Mitt Bahi, I'd have been putting this horse in around the 2-1 mark as favourite, and you can back him at 3s.
There we go. Mitt Bahi, potentially a Group 1 sprinter of the future, according to Keith. Robbie, are you kind of in agreement with Keith here? The improving sprinter, Mitt Bahi, could be the one?
Yeah, I mean Keith's more a man for sprints than I am. I thought Mitt Bahi was really impressive at Sandown last time. It always concerns me, though, back in 3-year-olds. They're not getting that much weight in sprints at this time of year from the older horses. I mean, he might be the one. I thought Arecibo was quite slightly interesting. On the form of his second here last season in this race too, it came from the dark. He just tends to pop up in races like this, and it wasn't a terrible run in the King Stand or at Haydock before that. So he looks quite a big price, but it's not one I'd rather be betting in, ideally.
Okay, so Mitt Bahi for Keith, and a little bit of a mention there for Arecibo from Robbie. Now, next up, we have the Coral Challenge at 2.25, a 1 mile Class 2 handicap. Sinjari's your 11-4 favourite. Check and Challenge and Lion Tower, that they're 6-1. Escobar 17-2, and double figures bar those. Sinjari's a horse who ran on well to finish 5th in the Royal Hunt Cup. Is he probably the right favourite in here, Robbie?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I know he's 6 years old now, but on RPRs, he's turned in his 3 best performances for Harry and Roger Charlton on his last 5 starts. So he's very much going the right way. I think he can be marked up for his run the Royal Hunt Cup. He actually won his side. He was drawn widest of all, but that just wasn't the place to be, stand side in that race. He's actually been dropped a pound for that, so I think he's close to being a bit of a good thing here. I know he's off 105, which normally you'd think that's a massive weight to win the handicap off, but we are seeing this more often. We saw Trushan do it, of course, last weekend off 120 in Northumberland Plate, and we saw Rohan win back-to-back Wokingham's off 109.
So yeah, that wouldn't put me off at all. I think Check and Challenge is very interesting as well. Again, he's off the big weight, but he gets a nice three-year-old allowance there. He also ran the Guineas last time, but I'd need to see a little bit more from him to be backing. I think Sinjari's a good bet here.
There we go. Sinjari, yeah, 11-4, potentially a good bet in the Coral Challenge. Keith, do you share a similar opinion to Robbie, especially with regards to Check and Challenge? That horse was very much talked up for the 2,000 Guineas, now dropping into a Class 2 handicap. What do you think of that horse?
He's my tip. You've nailed that one, Sam. He's, it's a little bit by default, because I actually backed him for the Guineas. I thought that his performance at Newcastle was the real deal. He looked, the figures were exceptional. He was very much justified in going up into Group 1 class. The Guineas just did not go right for him. He was a little bit on the wing, but he met loads and loads of trouble and got eased off. And I did that horrible thing where when a horse runs like that in the Guineas and you think, oh yeah, that's your Jersey winner. So I was slightly surprised he didn't turn up in anything at Royal Ascot. He was in the St James's Palace but got pulled out, if I remember right. But now he runs in this handicap here, 108. It's a high mark to carry. But it's an emotional bet. I don't like having these. I'm trying to get rid of them. But it's a little bit of sort of, if this horse is as good as I think he is, I need to be backing him for this race at 11-2. And that's what I'm going to do.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the fact the horse was talked up very much so for the 2,000 Guineas, you'd like to think he's going to be challenging in this one here. 6-1 a selection for Keith there, Check and Challenge, and Robbie with Sinjari at 11-4. Now on to the next then, the 3 o'clock. This is the Coral Distaff, a listed race over a mile for the fillies. And Sandringham Stakes winner Heredia is your 11-8 favourite. Grand Dame is 7-2. Oscular 11-2. Fast Attack 6-1. Then a big jump to 12-1. And bigger for the rest of them. Now, talk about a group horse and a handicap. Heredia was mightily impressive at Ascot, and the fact that she was keen in that race, didn't get much run luck in running either, and won like she did. It was a very confident ride from Sean Levy. I think she's a very special filly. Can you agree with that, Keith?
I'm not certain about very special, to be honest. But she's. I think she deserves to be favourite for this and probably will win. I'm more excited about that form, really. I mean, we saw what she did. You know, she won that race pretty convincingly, and run to an RPR of 109, borderline listed class already, and going to probably keep improving. I'm going to keep backing that form myself. I think that form is extremely good, and I think she will win this race. I'm not ready to back her for the Falmouth yet or anything like that, but I think she'll be winning this.
Okay, yeah, Heredia 11-8, a fairly short price. Robbie, is this a race that you're looking to steer clear of, or do you have a strong opinion?
A bit of both, really. I think Heredia will win. I was actually quite sweet on Zambak to potentially reverse the form early in the week, but she has not been declared. So I think this opens the door for Heredia, really. Like you say, she had a bit of trouble in running in the Sandringham last time, and she obviously Group 1 entered. I'm not sure she's up to that class yet, but I mean, this could actually be weaker than the Sandringham last time for me. So, I think she'll make easy work of it.
Heredia for both the gentlemen in the Coral Distaff. Now, let's move on to the big one then. It's the Coral Eclipse. And even though we've lost a few, like Robbie mentioned at the start of the postcast, we still have a smart field of six. French Derby winner Verdani is 13-8. We have Native Trail, who was second in the Kipco 2000 Guineas and winner of the Irish 2000 Guineas. He's currently 130. You've then got the Brigadier Gerard winner and Princess Wales Stakes second, Bay Bridge at 4-1. You've got Mishriff, who was a former French Derby winner, Shima Classic winner, Saudi Cup winner, Judgment winner. Honestly, his CV is fantastic. He's 8-1. We have recent Tassels Gold Cup winner at the Curra, Alan Kerr, 9-1. Then we have two-time Dubai Turf winner and former Prince of Wales Stakes winner Lord North at 22-1. Wowza, what a field this is, Robbie. Where do we start?
Yeah, some race. I have to say, I'm surprised Verdani is as short as he is. I mean, yes, he was very impressive in the Prix de Jockey Club, but that was on soft ground. He's not really done it on this kind of surface for me yet. I mean, there's not much rain forecast this hand. It wouldn't surprise me if it dried out to good to firm. And I'm just not sure by him. I think there's too much between him and Native Trail on the betting. I mean, Native Trail, probably unlucky not to be unbeaten. He was drawn on the wrong side in the Guineas when Karibas just beat him. Just really has been crying out for this step up to 10 furlongs. He's finally going to get it. It'll be absolutely relishing that Sandown stiff finish. And the other one is Bay Bridge. Just think, he wasn't given the best ride in the Prince of Wales's. I think if he was given the ride State of Rest was from the front, he would have won. I think Ryan Moore would have learned from that. And he needs...
he needs to be ridden forward in a race like this, because I think he's going to stay further at Baybridge. And I just think those two are a pretty decent bets to upset Verdani. I'm quite against the favourite here.
Okay, against Verdani, a lot of people fancying this horse. Did look mostly impressive in the Prix de Jockey Club. Keith, I think the one question with Native Trail that Robbie's mentioned there, look, is this horse stepping up to 10 furlongs? Is it just a matter of, you know, how well this horse is going to get that trip? Probably the only one in here that hasn't, you know, proven it over further than a mile so far.
Yeah, it's a long time since a horse that wasn't proven over the trip won the Eclipse, somebody was telling me in a week. Giant's Causeway, I think, was the last one. And the Native Trail is an interesting one, because look at his profile, look at his pedigree, look at his two-year-old form, and you don't see a 10-furlong horse there, really. But look at how he's been shaping in the Guineas, and more so probably the Irish Guineas. He's looking like a 10-furlong horse. So all he's got going for him is the way he's shaped. So that's quite interesting with Native Trail. I think his price rather sums up his chance, to be honest. And Verdani, it's great to have a horse here. I hope and I think that the Prix de Jockey Club is going to be a race that informs the Eclipse a lot more in future. I've written as much in the big race analysis that you'll see in the Racing Post. It'll probably be live by the time you hear this. And it'll be interesting to see how he gets on here. The form of that, it's still up in the air, so we don't know. If there is a bet in the race, I'm with Robbie, actually. The horses that I was interested in this race from a betting perspective were mostly Real World and Stone Age, but they don't run. So yeah. What's left is a very, very interesting race. It's not a massive betting race for me, if I'm quite honest. I'm going to learn an awful lot about Verdani. I'm going to learn an awful lot about Native Trail. I'm going to learn quite a bit about Baybridge, and I'm going to learn a little bit, hopefully, too, about Alankeer, and even where Mishriff and Lord North are. So it's a race that you're going to get plenty from, rather than one that I'm desperate to get tucked into. If I'm there is at 4-1, I'm dangerously close to backing Baybridge. I agree with Robbie about what happened at Ascot. It was about the only thing Ryan Moore came to giving an ordinary ride at Ascot that week. He got outridden by Shane Cross, on state arrest. And the way he looked, the horse he looked in the Brigadier Gerard, the turn of foot he showed. He is a massive danger to just about anything over 10 furlongs. If Desert Crown was in this race, he'd be a viable winner. Yeah. So for me, if there's a bet in this race, and as I say, if I can get anything bigger than 4-1, I'll be getting involved in Baybridge. I think at these prices, he's the sort of bet. However, definitely a race to watch back, because hopefully it's going to tell us loads.
And it really is going to be a hell of a watch. So if pushed, Keith will be with Baybridge, and Robbie thinks that the favourite could be upset by the Native Trail or Baybridge as well. A really fantastic race. Looking forward to that on Saturday. Now, that's it for Sandown. Join us in just a few seconds where we'll be looking at the card from Haydock.
Stay ahead of the field with Racing Post Members Club, featuring unlimited access to the Racing Post digital newspaper, exclusive online content, replays from all UK and Irish racecourses, and more. If you're a new customer, you can use the code POST22 to get 50% off your first 3 months of Members Club Ultimate. Head to racingpost.com/postcast to find out more.
Welcome back to the Racing Postcast with myself, Sam Hart, Robbie Wilders and Keith Melrose. On to Haydock now, and we'll kick things off with the Bet365 Handicap, a Class 2 over a mile and three quarters. Sea King for the Sir Mark Prescott team is 100-30 favourite. Double Cherry 13-2. Nathaniel Green 17-2. Duty Bound 10-1. Valsad 11-1. Then 12-1 and bigger the rest of these. Now, Sea King is the favourite in here. Keith, is he the worthy favourite?
Race like this, a lot of these three-year-olds having their first run over a mile six plus, most of them being bred for it. I defy anybody to tell me that a horse is the right favourite, to be honest, because there's six, seven, eight horses that could be the viable favourite for it, depending on how it goes, to be honest. It's a race where you've got to bet on a horse in the full knowledge that it could run perfectly well and finish third.
Yeah.
So definitely look at the extra each-way places being offered in this race. Bet365 are sponsoring. They might well do something, and usually it's in Skybet are normally good for each extra places as well. I'm going to back a horse that's almost certainly going to stay, even though he's stepping up half a mile in trip. It's the Gadget Man, who is one of very few runners that Jack Hobbs has had as a stallion so far. You'll remember Jack Hobbs, he won the Irish Derby. He was a horse that he probably would have won. In fact, he would have won the Derby had Golden Horn not been around. But he's been put away put as a jump sire. He might be a good jump sire. Because this horse is a big stamp of a horse, the Gadget Man. ran in two back end maidens last year, fourth at Salisbury, then second, beating a neck at Newmarket. And it wasn't the hottest Newmarket maiden ever run, but those October maidens at Newmarket are generally pretty good races. And then he's only run this year. He was over a mile two at Nottingham. He got absolutely mullered and finished fifth. He would never have got anywhere near West Wind Blows, but West Wind Blows ran in the Derby next time. You know, the horse, the Real Dream, who finished fourth just ahead of him, he ran in a race at Royal Ascot on his next start. It was and in between them, there was two Godolphin horses. So one of those good Nottingham novices, that. And he ran a pretty promising race in that one too, stepping right up in trip. His dam was second, I think, in the Fred Archer, and she was very effective on softer ground too. This horse has got, he's big, he's got a round action, his dam was best on soft, and he got pulled out on his intended last run. His intended handicap debut was in a 50k race at Doncaster on Derby Day. The ground was too quick, apparently. I can believe it. Now he's turning up at Haydock here in a 100 grand race on ground that's likely to be quite a bit softer than that. They're currently reporting good to soft with more showers this afternoon. You can get 14 to 1. You'll probably get five places somewhere. I'm absolutely certain this horse will stay. And yeah, the Gadget Man's the one I've picked out.
An excellent case made for Rafe Beckett's horse, the Gadget Man there. 14 to 1, like he says, do take advantage of extra places in these big handicaps. Now, Robbie, who are you with in the first big handicap we're going to be previewing from Haydock?
Yeah, this is a really good race, actually. Like Keith says, I mean, you look through a good half a dozen of these and you think they could have quite a lot in hand from their marks. A lot of handicap debutants, a lot of decent pedigrees. I was drawn to Hello Jamiro, who I thought was really big price at standout 14s. She ran in the Oaks trial at Chester on her second start for William Haggis. She's a little bit found out in that company, but I thought it was a really encouraging effort, dropped to a novice, a Haydock next time. She was beaten by a horse called Al Muhit, who is really well bred. He's a brother to Tag Ruder, and was getting weight from Hello Jamiro because Hello Jamiro was carrying a winner's penalty. She's off a mark of 84 on her handicap debut. She's got stamina in the pedigree, the dam stayed 1 mile 6, Golden Horn filly. The fact that Danny Tudhope's riding rather than Kieran Fallon means that she's a slightly shorter price than her stable mate. So yeah, I think there's lots to like. She's off 84, and yeah, I think she'll go quite well. But again, it's one of those races where she could be well handicapped but finish fourth or fifth. So yeah, it's going to be interesting for sure.
There you go. Hello Jamiro for the William Haggis team, who just can't do anything wrong this season. Both 14 to 1, the gent selections, the Gadget Man 14 to 1, Hello Jamiro 14 to 1 by Keith and Robbie. Then I'll just go on to the big race we're going to be previewing up at Haydock, the 240 Lancashire Oaks, a Group 2 over a mile and a half, and Free Wind is your 9-4 favourite. Asharda 7-2, Sila Rossa 11-2, Kawida 6-1, Stay Alert 8-1, Believe in Love is 12s, and Nell Quickly is 16-1. Now, Robbie, I can't get Free Wind's performance out of my head from the back end of last season at Doncaster. Surely she's going to be the fair favourite here on that race.
Yeah, she was really impressed with Doncaster. It's just that same thing you've got to contemplate with these horses first time out. Is she going to be ready? I mean, she's trained by John and Fady Gosden. They're well up to ready on first time out. But I think it's quite a good race. She's going to have to be on her game. I mean, Ashard is obviously interested in the form of a Group 1 winner at Ascot last season. And she obviously avoids a penalty for that. She's actually the highest rated on the official figures. I was drawn to Stay Alert for Hughie Morrison. Just feel like she's been showing quite a bit over 10 furlongs. But her pedigree suggests she's going to really improve for a mile and a half and further. She's a half-sister to a stayer of Archie Watson's Staghorn, who won over 2 mile 2 at Pontefract and soft. I think she's going to like this ground. It has dried out a little bit. I was expecting it to be more soft, potentially heavy, but there is more rain forecast. I think she's going to love soft ground. And of course, she gets a lot of weight from the older horses, rated 104. It's about 8 to 1. I think there's quite a bit to like about Stay Alert.
Okay, Stay Alert. It has won over a mile and a half already this season, back in April at Wolverhampton and Novice Stakes fairly impressively. So yeah, Stay Alert around 8 to 1. For Robbie. Keith Ashada was very game in the fillies and mares on Champions Day last season. I think the Varian Yard think she'll take a big step forward from Newbury last time out. Is it a more open race than the betting suggests?
Pass. I mean, I was going to say here, I mean, Ashada, that run at Ascot, sometimes you can, I know Champions Day is great, but there are occasionally races there where you can just put a line through the form because they're just proper surreal, some of them. And that's £11 better than anything she's ever done. So I'm not certain that about her. I mean, the only thing I know about this race is that Free Wind shouldn't be 9-4. she should be even money or 9-2, depending on how fit she is. Right. And not knowing that and not having a particular view on it means I'm out of this race, I think. I'm not going to have a bet in it. I'll watch it. Freewind looked really exciting at Doncaster when she won the Park Hill. That was a really good performance. Stay Alert's an interesting horse that Robbie put up. Every time that horse runs well, or something that comes out of that that listed race, she was second to Nashua. And every time a horse comes out of that and runs well, it's another dagger through my heart, because I like Nashua for the Oaks. And then she ran into two really good fillies and then won the Diane. So, you know, it's a dagger to me. But it's a race to watch this. I don't have a bet.
Okay, no bet race for Keith there. And Robbie will be with Stay Alert in the Lancashire Oaks. Now let's go on to the big handicap that we'll be previewing. This is the Old Newton Cup. It's the 240, 1.5 miles, Class 2 handicap. And Garcy is your 13-8 favourite in here. Get Shirty, the Royal Ascot winner, 9-1, along with Liverpool Knight at 9s. Brentford Hope, 11. Something Enticing, 12-1. Then we've got 16s about It's Good to Laugh, in Franchise and Secret Shadow, and then a big jump to 20-1 and bigger for the rest of them. Now, it's probably an easy leading question, this, Keith, but is this a group horse and a handicap?
Oh, there'll be one somewhere. I'm sure of it. In fact, you're right. There will be group horses and handicaps. And Gassy, you can tell that's the aim with this horse, ultimately. You know, that's the thing. He might be a group horse and a handicap, but there is a group horse in this handicap, actually. And it's a horse that I'm going to be putting up. I think there's a jockey that's been laid out for this race. I know we talk about horses being laid out for these big handicaps a lot, but it's interesting. I went to the career, the very light but fairly promising career so far, of Dion LaRue, a £7 claiming jockey. Had a few rides last year for Clive Cox, appears to have moved to Richard Hughes, and only started getting rides for Hughes last month. Or no, not last month, we're in July now, so it was middle of May. And got his first winner for Hughes last week on the all-weather. Looking pretty tidy as well when he won on Brunel Charm. Horse won very nicely, and Dion really looked pretty tidy on top of him. And because it was very interesting to note then that this jockey, who's had one winner for the yard so far, on Monday was jocked up on Brentford Hope. Now, Brentford Hope has been running in good races. He was second to Victor Ludorum in a Group 3 at Chantilly last summer, actually. That was over a mile. And he was it the year before that? No, it was last year as well. He was anti-post favourite or just about for the Lincoln, but he didn't run because the ground was too fast. The reason he was anti-post favourite for the Lincoln was because he'd won on soft ground at Haydock on the bridle, like properly hard held. And that was what made him identified him as a really progressive horse and one to watch out for, but they think he needs soft ground. And he's been going to France to try and get that soft ground, and he's been running quite well in group races without winning. And now he goes up to 1.5 miles, which is actually, if you looked at his pedigree, the trip he needs. So I'm not that worried about the trip. The ground, we've already discussed at Haydock, it's likely to be soft side tomorrow. And the mark's 105. He's actually not terribly treated off that on its own. And then he's got the £7 of Dion LaRue coming off. Now, I know the media types, like as we get a bit of stick for saying, oh, so-and-so's good value for their claim this, good value for their claim that. But let's be honest, when you're a £7 claimer, if you've got any prospect of riding out your claim, you're going to look good when you're claiming seven. Yeah. And that's what Dion LaRue did on his last ride, or his last ride for Hughes when he won. He looks tidy. You know, this horse is then effectively getting a chance to run off a sub-100 mark. And yeah, I thought Brentford Hope was a really interesting horse. Because the thing is, the horse himself has possibly been laid out for this race too, because he's only had one run this year in a listed race at Goodwood. Easy enough to back, didn't seem to be entirely fit. So maybe jockey and horse have been laid out for the Old Newton Cup.
There you go. A big mention for Brentford Hope for Richard Hughes, and a nice mention for Dion LaRue, the £7 claimer. So many good apprentices coming through, the likes of Harry Davies, Benoit de La Sayette, Reese Class, but there's so many coming through, which is excellent to see. Now, Robbie, move on to you. Are you looking to select this favourite run, or are you going to try and take him on?
Yeah, definitely going to take him on. I know he's got the Group 1 entry in the Irish Leisure later in the season, but I mean, the form of his York comeback win isn't working out that well. I mean, just did some numbers for the horses in behind since 7805630991 7. That doesn't bode too well, and he's quite a short price considering this is 17 runners and a few of these look like they could be quite well treated. I was also drawn to Brentford Hope initially, but I just worry about him over this 1.4 mile trip. I think he's more of a miler to a 10 furlong horse, but it'd be interesting to see if he does get it. And this jockey is interesting, as Keith points out. I was actually drawn
to the Andrew Borden horse, Secret Shadow. And she stays a little bit further. She's got winning form on soft over 1.6. She was very progressive last season, won three of her last four starts and resumed that progression at Goodwood over 1.6 behind Inchicore, beating three quarters of a length. I think the ability to get further is going to help in this ground. She's very much going the right way. She's £2 higher, and carrying a low weight in these kind of conditions isn't going to hurt at all. And she's about 16-1. So I thought, yeah, with the extra place term, Secret Shadow could go quite well.
There you go. Secret Shadow for Robbie at 16-1. And as mentioned, Brentford Hope for Keith at 11-1. That's it for Haydock. Join us just after this short advert for a quick preview of the Grand Prix de Saint-Cloud, along with the gentlemen's naps of the weekend.
Stay ahead of the field with Racing Post Members Club, featuring unlimited access to the Racing Post digital newspaper, exclusive online content, replays from all UK and Irish racecourses, and more. If you're a new customer, you can use the code POST22 to get 50% off your first 3 months of Members Club Ultimate. Head to racingpost.com/postcast to find out more.
Really impressive last season in that Lingfield trial that obviously worked out superbly with a Dayar and Scope and Kiprios in behind. Like what he did at Goodwood last time. So I think for me, it's probably going to be Hurricane Lane with third round following him home.
Yeah, Hurricane Lane for both gentlemen looks like he's going to be a strong favourite. He's 6-4 currently. Could even touch odds on potentially on the day. But yeah, I mentioned for Third Realm for Robbie as well, winner of the Tapster Stakes at Goodwood last time out. Now let's move on to races elsewhere, James. Without giving your naps away, let's see what there is elsewhere. Because Keith, I know before you came on, we had another international race that potentially should get a mention. What else are you looking forward to this weekend?
So I had a couple of wee bets on Saturday in the 1:35 at Haydock, so the race before the telly comes on. We've only got the William Hill prices as we speak, and we know what they're a little bit like. I know a stiff breeze blows them down a little bit, and they might not be available by the time you hear this. But Solotov's been put in that race at 18-1, and that looks the wrong price to me. This horse is a half brother to Don Juan Triumphant, who won the Champion Sprint at Ascot. Again, one of those funny results that you sometimes get on Champions Day, but that was very indicative of that horse. He loved a bit of soft ground, and this horse on his debut. Made his debut in a newcomer's race on Puy de Jockey Club Day last year. Won it by 3 lengths, looked really promising, and didn't really go on from that. Then left France at the end of the year, has come to Robert Cowell. 2 runs this year haven't been terribly convincing, but he has dropped £10 in the weights as a result. Cowell is having winners now. He's not having the best year, I think he'd admit that himself, but he is having a few winners now. The visor goes on, and Ray Dawson's up, who Dawson is Cowell's main jockey, really. He rides more horses than anybody else does for Cowell. And so I think he might, that price is probably way wrong. And it's if you can get it before it starts to come in a bit, then do. I mean, it's a warm race. I don't anticipate him being favourite, but I expect him maybe to be single figures potentially. And then there's a race at Sandown, the last race on the Sandown card on Saturday. We've got a 5 furlong sprint. Again, this is a handicap. Absolutely tons and tons of pace in this race. And Sandown's a very hard track to sort of stay in front at because, yes, it's a stiff fiver like Ascot, but whereas Ascot's climb is climb, 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 levels off in the last furlong, at Sandown, 2/3 of the climbing's in the second half of the race. It's like the Nike swoosh inverted almost. And the front runners can struggle to stay away. And a horse that's been running, like it's been given too much to do the last few times, has been Nelson Gay. Who was fourth in a race where the pace collapsed at Epsom on his reappearance. He was finished fifth in a race there on Derby Day too and got left too much to do at Windsor last time. A stiff five where they're likely to come back is going to be ideal for him. And Ryan Moore, or slash his agent, has obviously seen enough in recent performances to think that Nelson Gay's worth a pop. So he's on. It's probably spoiling the price a little bit, unfortunately, but it's a nice little vote of confidence as well. So they're the two on Saturday that I picked out as away bets. And also just to say on Sunday, we've got the German Derby on, where you've got a horse called Ardekan who's trying to do the Italian Derby, German Derby double. But we've also got loads of British-based jockeys, riding for local trainers. So Richard Kingscote is riding for Marcus Klug on a lady who she was second in the German Guineas last time, and you've got Holly Doyle riding for Klug. You've got Frankie de Torres riding, he's also for Klug. So you know they're all he's obviously got the phone out and got all these big name jockeys from abroad to try and land a group one. So what tends to happen in the German Derby, look, I'm not going to pretend I'm massively across the German form, but you watch the race, and if something wins convincingly, then it normally needs to be taken seriously. And that's what I'll be doing with the German Derby on Sunday, seeing what comes out of it. You know, sometimes you get these impressive winners that get decent ARC quotes. And obviously, the German runners have a great record in recent years in the ARC itself. So make sure you give that a watch. You're not going to get a tip off me. I don't know the German form well enough, but do try and give that race a watch.
There we go. A few bets elsewhere. So the opening race at Haydock on Saturday, Solitov, potentially the outsider of 7, the wrong price at 18-1 for Keith. And the final race at Sandown on Saturday, Nelson Gay for Richard Hughes, 11-2. Richard Hughes double potentially there for Keith. And a big mention for the German Derby as well. Like he's mentioned in the ARC, they've had a good record, especially last year with Torquato Tasso winning that at a huge price. Robbie, what else should our listeners be looking out for this weekend?
Nothing else for me, Sam. Just like Keith says, I'll be keeping close tabs on the Derby. I mean, obviously, Torquato Tasso was the standout horse in Europe last season because of his ARC victory. So be a watching brief. We don't know the form as well, but there's bound to be something that's going to going to be one to keep on the side going forward. So, yeah, I'll sit it out, but it'll be...
Yeah, plenty of good racing to get stuck into this week. And now let's get the naps before we go, gents. Robbie, I'll start with you. Who's your nap this weekend?
This will not be beaten.
The nap is 2:40 at Haydock in the Lancashire Oaks. Stay alert. Form behind Nashua is looking really good. She gets a lot of weight from the older horses. She's fit. She likes soft ground. She's going to stay further. So I think there's lots to like for about stay alert for me.
There we go. Stay alert in the Lancashire Oaks for Robbie. And Keith, who's your nap this weekend?
It's a nice and early one. It's Mitt Bahi in the 150 at Sandown, the Coral Charge.
Mitt Bahi in the Coral Charge at around 3-1 for Keith. There we go. That should be some fun this weekend. And hopefully the gents have found you plenty of winners. Robbie, I'm right in saying that you're going to be on Racing Post Live on Saturday with Charlie Post and Dave Orton. Looking forward to that one?
Certainly am, mate. Yeah, look forward to it. You there as well?
I will be as well. Yeah, I'll be watching over and making sure that show goes as swimmingly as possible. And Keith, what are your plans for this weekend?
Not an awful lot, to be honest. We've got some friends coming Sunday. We've got, and then Saturday, yeah, just bits and pieces really, but making sure I'm by a telly to watch certainly the Eclipse and hopefully a few other races. And then, yeah, next week we get in and we decide to all on the flat pack. That's the next show you'll see me on, the one that where I go to the basement of a pub with Ross Briley and Matt Gardner, and we nerd out over racing. It's great.
Yeah, Flatpack been a really good series so far. Do check that one out. Well, thanks as always, both gentlemen. It's been a pleasure. And as always, to all of our listeners, do subscribe to the podcast on whatever platform you're listening on. Enjoy the weekend. And as always, do remember to gamble responsibly.